We welcome you tonight to our live stream of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina. We welcome each one of you, whether you're a member of this assembly or whether you're just listening and watching from a far distant place, maybe. We pray that the Lord would be merciful to us and continue to give us grace in these days. We ask His help, His strength. We pray for those of our number that are sick. Thankfully, a good number of them are improving. We pray that the Lord would heal them as is His will. Let's pray. Father, tonight we ask in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would bless us and by your Spirit bring comfort to the hearts of your people. Teach us your word and cause us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that you might, in these days, encourage our hearts. Cause us to run this race that you called us to with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We pray tonight that you would help us, that you would heal these sick ones and raise them back up to strength. All of the cares and burdens of your people, we pray that they would be enabled to cast them upon you. And we ask, Lord, tonight that you would help us to say something from your word that you'd be pleased to use to bring comfort, to encourage, to instruct all of your sheep who will surely hear your voice. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thanking you for every blessing in His name. Amen. If you would turn tonight in your Bibles for just a few minutes over in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, I want to read something that Luke records about Christ on this occasion where he goes to his home synagogue there in Nazareth, and he reads and he makes several statements in this passage. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears?" This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? I want to talk to you tonight about the worst and best of times. I'm not a very well-read individual as far as secular literature is concerned, but I remember the beginning of a book that a man named Charles Dickens wrote that he entitled A Tale of Two Cities. And it began with these words. I always remember these words. He said, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, and it was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. It was almost like Dickens was writing about the very hour in which we now live, the very times in which we live. Because everywhere we go, people are speaking of such sad times in which we live. And it is sad in a sense. As a matter of fact, the news reminds us of all the bad news, bad things. They remind us daily and hourly. They send bulletins. And it's the subject of so many conversations. There's always the frequency of natural disasters, storms and earthquakes and what have you. There's the news of disease, the newest disease. Now it's that virus, COVID-19. And all the crime, all the people killed for no reason, all the people who are involved in this total collapse of morality that we are witnessing. In the family, the home, the business world. And then there are all the conflicts that are always going on in the world. All the terrorism, all the wars. And most especially the sad state of religion. False religion is rampant on every hand. Men telling lies about God, people believing them. It's a sad time. It's a dark time. And these are troublesome times. And we fear to face them. We fear not knowing what is ahead. And we fear for our children and what they might have to face. But tonight, from this passage, I want you to notice, and hopefully in the midst of these days, the Lord's true people, they will not lose sight of this. They will remember what Christ said. And that time that began at his first coming and will be finalized at his second coming, that time in which he spoke and all his prophets have spoken concerning all the evil, deception, and such things as that as will take place. He reminds us that while it is really the worst of times, it is still the best of times. It is the best of times according to what Christ says here in this fourth chapter of Luke. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returned to his hometown of Nazareth and began this public ministry, he first revealed himself as one who spoke the scriptures. He did so as a preacher. And this, in the eyes of most people in our day, it would seem is the least thing that can be done for such times. Let's take something in hand. Let's get busy doing this or that. But it is not what we do. It is what the Lord does and what he has brought to pass concerning this world, especially as it applies to his people. When Christ revealed himself and read from the scriptures on this occasion, providentially, he was reading from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. And he said, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears this day. And what he says in verse 18, what he reads in verse 18 is, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He's talking about a spiritual work here. He's talking about that work that he, as the Messiah, would do for God's people in his coming. And he was talking about not only what he would do, but the time that he would usher in. He talks about that in verse 19. He says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim this acceptable year of the Lord. And the glory is that Christ, on this occasion, ushered in a time, an age that to this day has never been brought to a finish or to an end. Let me read that verse to you out of another translation. He says it to proclaim the accepted and acceptable day of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. He's talking about the age of grace, the day of salvation, this acceptable year of the Lord. And this is the same time between his first coming and his second coming that is also referred to as the accepted time. The accepted time. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. Now we're reading up to something, and what we read is stated as fact, as truth, and then we'll find out exactly what he's saying. Verse 18, Paul writes and he says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Here is a particular word and message for a particular people, telling them what God has done. He says he has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Why? For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now there is no division between what is written in chapter 5 and what begins in chapter 6 in the original. It's together. So we read on. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he said, God has said, I have heard thee in a time accepted. I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There is something that is to be heralded. There's something that is to be preached. There's something that is to be believed by the people of God. And it is that God was in Christ reconciling us unto himself. And this is the time that that good news, that news of what God has accomplished for his people in Christ, this is the time that they are to hear it and rejoice and believe this good news. This is the time accepted. Now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. Over in the book of Ezekiel, we hear something said like this. When he passes by that infant aborted in the field, this time he calls it the time of love. It was a time of love. And it doesn't mean the lifetime of an individual or any portion of that lifetime, but it speaks to the whole period of time which had its inauguration on this very occasion here in Nazareth. The Bible tells us in one place to say not that the former days were better than these. Oh, you have liked to live in Noah's day or Abraham's day or David's day or the judges or the prophet. No. If we're alive in this day, that since the inauguration here of this time and day of salvation, this acceptable year of the Lord, we live in the day and age of his grace. That's what he's saying. God has already reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And this time is spoken of all throughout the scriptures. It is in some places called a day. It is in others referred to as a year, elsewhere as a time, indicating in most cases a considerable period, but at the same time revealing that it has an end. It's a set time that has been set by God himself. I don't know the time. I don't know the amount of time, the length of time. All I know is that it began when Christ stood in Nazareth in that synagogue and he read that scripture. He said, "This is fulfilled in your ears on this day," and he has not returned to bring it to an end. We were warned by Christ of all that would take place, how men would be, what they would do, how they would lie, deception be everywhere, unfaithfulness on every hand. But while all these bad times have gone on through the ages since the coming of Christ, there has been the best of times. As the Lord has one by one, in this place and time and another place, called out his sheep, sent his messengers to declare this good news. You won't hear it in most cases on TV or radio or any other of these other various media type things. But there in various ways, God has sent forth His gospel. And His gospel is good news. That's what the word gospel means. It's called glad tidings. And for these 2,000 plus years, He sent His servants. Not everybody, not most who have claimed to be His servants, did He send. He said, I'll say to them, not everyone that calls me or says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into my kingdom. They said, Lord, we've done many wonderful works. We've cast out devils. We've prophesied in Your name. He says, I'll say to them in that hour, depart from me. I never knew you. But there are some people He does know. The Lord knows them that are His. And they're scattered all through this time. And He says to Peter, through Peter, He's not willing that any of them should perish, but that every one of them should come to repentance. And as they hear this good news, they find out this acceptable time, this day of salvation, and they hear the message of Christ crucified. You see, in the midst of all that men are being told to do about the law and about their works and about their character and about their morality, in the midst of all of that, when that kind of preaching just brings more and more of a troubled time. But in the midst of that, here and there, the gospel goes forth that talks about this work that Christ has finished and done for His people, how God was in Christ reconciling them unto Himself through His death on that cross. This time has an end. And at the appointed time, it will cease. But that time has not come. It may come tomorrow. Christ might come tomorrow. Or next week. You see, things are on God's timetable, not ours. And all these events, all that's going on now, and how they're multiplying and getting worse, it seems like, all these events and circumstances and declines, they may be signs of its soon ceasing. But it has not come yet. And until Christ comes, we can go back to that fourth chapter of the book of Luke and hear Him read it once again now. I'm here to proclaim the acceptable year. A time that is characterized by grace from God. A time when He manifests Himself as the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That's how He is. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh, he's coming back and usher in another time period. And that'll bring about the end of his grace to men. He's not worried about whether or not this one or that one will accept him. You see, that's what men have made this to be. This is a time of their accepting Jesus as their personal Savior. But you can read this book, and when you read it thoroughly and search it out, you'll find out that we don't accept him. He has to accept us. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. Now the apostle here in Ephesians chapter 1, he begins by just blessing and praising and thanking God the Father for his grace. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." You see, men are always telling other men what God will do for them. But the gospel has to do with what he's already done for them in Christ. What has he done? He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Everything in Christ by his grace. That certainly rules out all these foolish notions about reward and getting to heaven based on what you've done and what you've earned. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and that's the only thing that's going to last. All of them in Christ Jesus. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us. That means to mark out beforehand, to determine beforehand. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I don't hear Paul praising men for anything that they've done. It's all about what God has done. But now notice the sixth verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. This is that age, that time. All to the praise of the glory of God's grace, not man's works, but to the praise of the glory of his grace. Why? Because he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He's made us acceptable by putting away our sins. He's made us acceptable by imputing the righteousness of God in Christ to us. He's made us acceptable to Him and holy in Him. But He has accepted us. Sinners, rebels. Did you notice that list of people and their condition that he spoke of there in Luke 4? They're a pitiful lot. They're not those that are that way naturally. They're not those that can make themselves like this. They're in this condition spiritually because the Holy Spirit has made them so spiritually, so that they are desirous of having everything that Christ has to give. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach and proclaim these glad tidings to the poor." That's those who have nothing to present to God. Doesn't matter how much money they have on this earth, but the Spirit of God has made them poor so that they desire the riches of God's grace in Christ. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. They're brokenhearted not because they've lost a lover or something like that. They're brokenhearted over sin, the awful state it's brought them to preach deliverance to the captives, those that Satan takes captive at his will. But Christ proclaims liberty. They've been made captive by religion, false religion, by self-righteousness. They've been made captives by Satan himself in the world, but Christ, in Christ, they have liberty. And the recovering of sight to the blind. They've been born blind, like blind Bartimaeus. But now they have eyes to see the truth and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Set him at liberty and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. May the Lord help us in these days not to center on how bad they are. They are bad. But in the midst of them are these days of grace, the acceptable year of the Lord, the time of love, the time of the visitation. I don't know how many days it'll be, or years, or what have you, but I do know this. When God calls out His last sheep, proclaims to them through some poor preacher, probably like myself, this good news and this grace, they're the last one of them. When He calls them in, and that number that He has numbered, which to us is a numberless number, the objects of His grace and mercy, the people that He chose in Christ, when He brings that last one, and it comes to an end. But it won't come to an end for them. It's just endless ages in His presence with all their acceptance being in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's the worst of times and the best of times at the same time. May God help us to see it and to see Christ and to hear the glad tidings of what He has in mercy and grace done for His people, for sinners like us. Oh, to hear Him say, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Father, we thank You tonight for Your grace to us, for Your dear Son and our Savior, the one in whom You've made us accepted, Your beloved, our beloved. We thank You and pray that Your purpose and will would be accomplished in this world. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.